And away we go into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. Good to have you with us. Good to be around on a Monday. You know, back at it here, back home. Padres, yeah, they did. They lost it. They lost the series to the Rockies. It's been that kind of a crazy season. So many unexpected things have happened for the Padres that have been a thumbs up. I mean, the list is almost endless when you think of things that have surprisingly happened good for the Padres. They've taken the season series from the Dodgers, for one. They won 19 out of 22 games for the first time ever, for two. And they've had so many incredible individual performances, along with the fact that they're 7-1 in extra innings a year after they couldn't win an extra inning game. I mean, so many things have been good. And then there's that one bugaboo, the Rockies. And it's been all year. I mean, the Rockies swept them here, and now the Rockies end their streak of eight consecutive series wins over the weekend. And they did it yesterday, Scraby, by a score of 3-2. You know how many 3-2 games there are each year at Coors Field? About two.
I was going to say, not many.
Very rare do you get a 3-2 game at Coors Field. Musgrove looked all right. You know, he's starting to, I'm very encouraged with what we've seen from Joe, his first two, you know, starts coming back. Hoeing finally gave up a run. And I'm not going to, you know, criticize the guy for that. He's been absolutely perfect. There was a little bit of a bobble on that ground ball in right field by Peralta, cost him. But, you know, Stallings basically just hit a 15-hop ground ball that happened to go into left field. And that was kind of the big hit. And then, as Tony pointed out, and Tony's run downstairs to take care of a couple things. He'll be back. But as Tony said, you know, Tyler Kinley and Victor Vodnik is not, you know, the 8-9 closed down assassin team normally. But yesterday, the Padres could barely touch him, man. He hit the home run off Kinley. But otherwise, Padres, you know, rolled right over in ball game. So it happens. Rockies take the series, give them, you know, credit. They'll probably go and lose their next 20 games.
But you know what was so annoying about everything of this series and the matchup the entire season, basically, was they always say, oh, well, the Rockies just returned home after losing 8 of 9 on the road. I'm like, wow.
I know.
They look like they're a good team against the Padres.
They have some pretty good players. Tovar's a really good shortstop. Doyle's good. I mean, he climbed the wall out there on Friday night, made a big play, and Rogers is a gold glove winner.
Yeah.
Tolia, the first baseman's young, but has 20 home runs. You know, we know the McMahon is a dangerous guy. I don't know why they never win a game, but usually it's because their pitching is so unbelievably bad. But it just wasn't that way against the Padres.
You know what makes me nervous for tonight? Is the Padres are facing a pitcher
making his second ever rookie start. Yeah.
And that usually doesn't go well.
You know what? I hate to agree with you in general, but I'm going to agree with you. Padres don't seem to figure out young guys they've never seen before. You want an example? The guy who pitched yesterday for the Rockies. He was only making his second or third start.
There you go.
And they barely touched him. Blaylock.
Yes, Blaylock. That's it.
I mean, let's be honest. Whoever Blaylock is, he wasn't good enough to make the Rockies, you know, 2 months ago. If you weren't good enough to make the Rockies, what does that say about where you were at?
They
bring him up, and the kid pitched okay yesterday, and now it's Zebby Matthews tonight.
Yes.
Second career start.
I'm seeing on the chat that some people are saying maybe it's the Padres' attitude. I have a hard time believing that the Padres are getting surprised by the Rockies.
Like an arrogant attitude?
Maybe just like, okay, we don't have to give 100%.
Oh, I don't think that's ridiculous.
I don't think that's it either, because they keep getting beat by the Rockies. They know that the Rockies are good enough to beat them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Padres are pretty tired of losing to the Rockies.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they are.
I mean, I understand the thought of maybe there is some relaxation, but I don't think that's
Might have been able to say that when they lost earlier in the year, but you couldn't have said that this weekend.
No, they've been playing hot.
Yes, they've been playing tremendous ball. There's no way they wanted that streak of series to end against the worst team in the National League.
Yeah, they were about to set a franchise record.
Yeah, they didn't want that to happen. The Rockies beat them, and that's just
so annoying.
So yeah,
Rockies return home after losing 153 of the last 154.
And the Rockies go out on the road where they'll lose 153 of their next 154. But they won over the weekend. Yeah, you're right. Bradley Blaylock yesterday, Zebby Matthews today. And you know what? If I was the Padres and their fans, I'd almost rather face Greg Maddux and Bob Gibson.
Because at least they
seems like we know those guys and we're able to do something with them.
You know, I'm doing a pregame today, so everybody stay tuned 5:40 p.m. for that. And Sam gave me the Zebby's real name, so I will reveal Zebby's real name.
Zebby has a real name.
Zebby is not his actual first name.
All right. Everybody's
which these days to, I have no idea. So
everybody's going to need to know his full first name.
Yes.
For booing purposes out at the yard tonight.
Yeah.
For booing purposes only. Like I said, Tony's off. We're actually, everybody's trying to find out, you know, what the story is with Ha-Seong Kim right now. So, you know, as soon as Mike Shildt says it, Tony will let us know, or somebody will let you know. Mike Shildt is supposed to meet with the media at 3:30 today. So it's like 20 minutes from now. We'll all, you know, kind of hold our breath a little. Kim is not in the lineup tonight. Tyler Wade will be starting at shortstop tonight. But no official IL move has been made. No transaction has been made, as far as we know, from the Padres. So that's it. That's all we know about Ha-Seong Kim right now. He did leave the game yesterday, jammed his left right shoulder, diving back into first base, and immediately felt enough pain to basically run off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's
I didn't see
not
this.
A,
I was
it's
on
not
the
a great
plane
sign.
The,
it's not a great sign. So he ran right to the clubhouse, and you know.
So it's a shoulder. I mean, I would assume that means a dislocated shoulder.
Jammed is what I'm only going to go with because nobody said dislocated.
Okay. So jammed, okay.
But I'm not, doesn't mean it wasn't, just means I don't know beyond the fact that they said
he's already dealing with a shoulder injury to begin with, I believe, right? Yeah. Like he's been dealing with it this season.
Tony is hoping and thinking it's not a big deal. He might miss a couple games. I'm thinking it might be a tad worse. So we'll see which, you know. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the radio.
I was going
right.
to say.
We'll just
I
see.
Do love sometimes when these guys on Twitter
oh,
are like,
I know. Come on.
Oh, well, when you see this angle,
oh,
it's
right.
like you have zero idea of
Even
any
Even if
symptoms.
You are a doctor, you don't know.
I know.
You
I
just,
know.
You know, you saw the injury. You don't know anything beyond that. You haven't seen any imaging.
The only person I pay attention to in that world is Stefania Bell because she.
You
she,
believe her.
For ESPN because she doesn't like say, hey, this guy's going to be back then. She tells you everything that you need to know about the
injury.
Well,
I'm glad you believe in Stefania Bell because you said this, and now I'm going to back it up. I'm going to piggyback on what you just said.
What?
Stefania Bell wrote on Twitter the other day
okay.
that she is very concerned about Joe Burrow and his ability to bounce back from these wrist injuries.
Oh.
Does not expect Joe Burrow maybe to ever really be Joe Burrow again, at least not for a while.
My goodness.
So that is going to be a test of Stefania
that
Bell's
That will be a test. See, Stefania doesn't, it, she's never that drastic.
So
she
was pretty
she
drastic.
Tweeted that out,
pretty
she
drastic.
Must really believe it.
Well, we'll see if Joe Burrow, like, is that enough to scare you off of Joe Burrow if he's available in the eighth round of your fantasy draft?
Because
Stefania
Bell
said so?
Maybe, possibly.
Really?
Yeah. She's
wow.
she's pretty good. She's
okay.
pretty good.
It's brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. That's Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. How do you like that, Scraby?
I love it. Floor and Decor is easy
read,
to remember.
My first read of that, and it was flawless.
It's not
say.
A hard one. To
flawless.
Read. It's not a hard read. It's not like the Carrie Underwood read. That's a little bit more
if there's
advanced.
Any, you know, if there's any bobble, you'll be there on the record button. So I can't take any chances with that.
We can't do Daily Gambit now. We're going to have to do it next segment.
But we will do it next segment.
I do have a question from the chat. It's actually not a question. It's just a statement from
okay.
someone saying, Wade playing over Donovan Solano is just idiotic.
It isn't. Okay, it is. Well, here's the thing. It's not because Mike Schilt is going to play defense. And who?
Donovan Solano's not a strong defender.
No, he's not going to play shortstop.
Exactly.
The only thing you could do right now, if you don't play Wade at short, is to move two people out of position. And I don't think, at least for a short term, Mike Schilt wants to do that. So you're going to move Cronenworth to short. You're going to put Solano or Arise at first. You're going to move Bogarts to short. Going to move Cronenworth to second and then Arise to first. You're going to move Manny to short and put Solano on third.
I think Manny's short days are over.
I'm just saying. Those are the other options for anybody who says it's dumb to play Tyler Wade. I'm telling you, if this goes for a while, if this is like a 2.5-3 week deal with Kim, and we don't know, we'll know here soon. But if it's 2.5 or 3 weeks, then I think you'll see somebody shift over, play short, so that Solano can be in the lineup.
Yeah.
But for a day or two, you're going to play defense. You're going to put Tyler Wade at short. And unfortunately, Solano's going to have to come off the bench. So thank you, chat, but not accurate on this occasion.
I understand the thought. And Tyler Wade, he's not a bad player. He just really hasn't gotten as many opportunities.
Every time he plays, it seems like he goes 2 for 3, except for maybe yesterday.
And he does something during a game when he's in there. He's
done a pretty good job.
He steals a base or runs.
I think he's been okay. Tyler Wade's been very serviceable. He's okay. I'm happy with him. I would love to get Solano in, so I get where you're coming from. But to get him in, you're going to have to move pieces around, and I don't think Mike Schilt wants to do that. At least not for like 1 day or 2 days.
Yeah. Do you really want Xander Bogaerts? I mean, I know that he's capable of playing shortstop. That's where he played his entire career, but they moved him for a reason. Do you really want to give him that taste of shortstop again?
Well, do you want to put him there and Cronenworth at second and Arise at first and then have three guys out of position?
Yeah, good point.
It's too much. It's too much.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, defense matters. If you don't think defense matters, you know, look at the game Friday night. Doyle climbs the wall. McMahon stabs a hard ground ball, starts a double play instead of a two-run double. I mean, defense matters, you know?
Defense wins championships.
All right. That's a little over the top because I don't agree with that. Feel like you got to score, too.
Well, yeah, but
I'm just saying
defense is capable of giving up 0 points.
Defense matters. Thank you, Scraby. We'll do a daily gambit after we check some traffic.
Oh, wait, traffic's not ready. It will be at some point.
It'll be ready, so just stick around for it. It's coming up. We have the daily gambit. Then we have fair or foul. And I'm telling you, it got crazy. So it's all coming up on Gwen and Chris. All right, howdy. We're back. Howdy do. We'll have a little round of Chris versus the fans later, but right now.
What about Cowboy Chris?
Cowboy Chris. Chris Paddock.
So he changed his name.
Yeah, he's not the sheriff.
He rebranded.
Evidently, he's Chris Cowboy Chris in Minnesota.
He rebranded, which is probably a better spot for him.
Either way, he's not healthy.
No.
So we won't see Chris Paddock this week. As the Twins have arrived to play the Padres. Tonight, it'll be the rookie, Zebby Matthews, second career start, Michael King. Tomorrow, Bailey Ober. Probably nobody knows anything about Bailey Ober. I'll tell you one thing about Bailey Ober. He's 6'9". Yeah. He is a tall guy. Maybe the tallest pitcher in all of baseball. He'll pitch tomorrow night against Martin Perez. And then, kind of the strange 3:40 start time on Wednesday for Simeon Woods Richardson, another rookie, Matt Waldron. To round out the series. Let's play some Daily Gambit right now, though, Scraby.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please gamble responsibly. Before we get into it, baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented.
We won't allow it.
Let me start this one over. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I was not here, so you take it over, Chris.
I got a few picks over the weekend. Friday night, over under Padres Rockies was 11.5 runs. I went under. Rockies won 7-3, so it did go under.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Dodgers at Cardinals. Had to take the Cardinals plus 1.5. What do you want me to do? Root for the Dodgers? I won that one. Even though the Dodgers won, it was 7-6, so the 1.5 runs paid off. Seattle at Pittsburgh Friday night. I took Seattle minus 1.5. Why? Because Paul Skeens was pitching for Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to root for him,
yeah,
but I should have. Skeens and Pittsburgh won 5-3, so I lost that
one. He gave up a first inning or second inning home run.
He gave up an early home run, but otherwise pitched fine. He's 7-2 now, and, you know, it just is what it is. I'm not going to get riled up again.
No.
Also on Friday night, Caitlin Clark, 19.5 points against Diana Taurasi and Phoenix. This was kind of a delicious one because remember Taurasi was the one that said,
"Oh yes,
who does Caitlin Clark think she is? She's just a kid. She's going to be coming up here playing with all these stud players."
Yep.
Well, Caitlin Clark put 29 on her and went well over the under over. And here's the thing: Diana Taurasi in Phoenix has not beaten Caitlin Clark yet this year, so Diana Taurasi's taking the short end of that. Even though I think she was just trying to be honest. It maybe wasn't the best of times.
I got to say, Caitlin Clark keeps getting better.
Way better. Way better. You're right, Scraby. Of course, we had to do some preseason football.
Of course.
Even though I think it's ridiculous. Adam was here, so we did Baltimore 1 over Atlanta. I took Atlanta for Adam.
Okay.
It didn't matter because Baltimore won by 1, so it was a push. Miami 4.5 over Washington. I couldn't understand why any team would be favored over any other team in a preseason game. So I took Washington plus the 4.5. Miami, though, won by 7. And San Francisco was 1 over New Orleans. I took New Orleans just so I could, you know,
rub it in my face.
But San Francisco won 16-10.
You know what? At the airport yesterday, my mom goes, "Hey, 49ers are playing tonight. Aren't you excited?
Yeah,
and I said,
"No."
And she was like, "What? Why aren't you excited? I'm like, "I'm not even going to watch it." And I ended up watching it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
You're a fan.
I am.
I watched the Dolphins game the other night. Tua played the first series. 5-for-5, threw a touchdown on a fade. Fourth down. They called the fade my favorite pattern in football.
It's the worst pattern in football.
But he hit it that time.
All right.
Which is kind of bad.
Yeah.
Because it means next time in the regular season, they'll call it again.
Yep. And,
it won't work.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. What do we got for tonight?
I don't know. You're in charge of that.
It's up to me. All right. What we got for tonight is a mess on my sheet. No, there we go. Brandon Fought. Arizona tonight, pitching at Miami, 6 innings over under, Scraby. Fought has pitched well. He's in his second year.
Yes.
Diamondbacks got swept, by the way, over the weekend in Tampa Bay.
That is pretty crazy.
And that helped the Padres move ahead of them in the standings.
Fought.
Mr. Fought.
Against the Marlins.
P-F-A-A-D-T.
Yes.
Just like it sounds. Fought.
I'm going to go over.
Over. Yeah, I'm going to go over, too. Miami's not very good. Padres, Twins. This is a very low number for over-under tonight. 7.
That is a very low
number.
With
a rookie pitcher. But as we said, the Twins don't, or the Padres don't seem to hit rookie pitchers as well as you would like.
Yeah, Petco Park effect.
Petco Park. It's over. Come on.
It's over.
7 runs. Jeez.
Oh, I thought you meant it's over.
No, I'm going over.
Oh, I'm going to go over, too.
We're both going over.
I'm
going to
be cautiously optimistic.
9-4 tonight. Just put some runs on the board. Have some fun out there. Dodgers home to the Mariners tonight. Dodgers are favored by 1.5 runs. Dodgers are 3 games up on the Padres right now in the NL West.
Is Logan Gilbert pitching for the Dodgers?
He is not.
Okay.
He's certainly not going to pitch for the...
Yeah,
I know he won't be pitching for the Dodgers.
Yes, but the Mariners, he's not either.
The matchup tonight is Gavin Stone for the Dodgers, Brian Wu for Seattle. Who are you going with?
Mariners.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I got to go with the Mariners. I can't root for the Dodgers. Are you kidding? Michael King tonight, 6.5 strikeouts.
No, over.
Wow, we're both just screaming over that time.
Well, Michael King has turned into a pretty good strikeout pitcher.
He and Cease may end up 1-2 in all of Major League Baseball.
That's
by
insane.
The time it's done. I got one tennis one for you.
Oh, great.
Jakob Sinner, the number one player. Jannik Sinner. Jakob. Mr. Sinner is going up against American Francis Tiafoe in the finals at Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. It's a big tournament.
It's a biggie. Best of 3, 22.5 games, over under.
Over under 22.5.
You're basically
games.
Betting whether you think Tiafoe can take it to a third set.
I'm going to say under.
And Sinner, all right, I'll say over. I think we agreed on every other one, so we better disagree on that one.
We did.
All right, coming up next, Tony rejoins us for a rollicking edition of Fair or Foul. Some people out there in the world have been very foul, and we're going to call them out on it, except for a couple of people who are very fair, and we're going to pat them on the back. You'll see what we're talking about. It's all great fun.
Next.
Yeah, I guess it's... I was trying to think of something else clever, but I don't have it, so we'll just go next.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, we still haven't heard anything update-wise on Ha-Seong Kim from the Padres. He's not in the lineup tonight, we know that, but we don't know anything else as far as, you know, severity of injury, how long you might be out. As soon as we know, we'll let you know.
I usually look for...
Scrappy, you're usually right on this stuff. So.
Well, I usually look for the Padres to put up a post that says, like, we've made some moves, but nothing yet.
And that is good. That is a good sign that they haven't made a transaction.
Yes.
Which would be the likes of, hey, we've put Ha-Seong Kim on the 10-day IL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Has not happened
exactly.
As of yet.
Yes, correct.
So hopefully it'll just be, you know, he's not playing tonight. We'll see how he feels tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't know anything official. So stop worrying about it for now.
We're having a major debate on the chat today about what they should do with the infield.
This is not a major debate. I don't know why they're... Well, what do they want to do?
Quite honestly, they want to do a lot of stuff.
They want to change over, like, all 5 positions.
The Padres
are not going to do that.
The one that I see having Solano play third, Manny DHing, but Manny needs to be at third. Manny has said that he wants to be on the field.
Why would you take Manny off third? He's the greatest player ever, like in the history of the game.
Did you see Donovan Solano last week?
He made 2 plays. I'm not ready to dust off a spot for him in the Brooks Robinson defending Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm not saying anybody's wrong, but I have appreciated watching the debate.
I appreciate you guys all trying to come up with solutions.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's only a few days, and if it is, Tyler Wade can play short just fine. Thank you. Let's get to traffic. And then we have an edition of Fair or Foul. We've had a few editions of this. This is the best one yet. All right, thank you on the traffic. Now, as we head into this next segment, I want to do something right now in honor of one of our best friends, Scraby and Tony. And one of our best friends is our guy, Sam Levitt.
Oh, yes.
Tonight, he is the play-by-play voice of the San Diego Padres for baseball. He's calling his first ever major league game.
Making his debut.
After years being in the minor leagues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a big moment. So for Sam, I offer this. There's a long fly ball deep down the right field line. Is it fair or foul?
Scraby, take over with the Fair or Foul segment.
Wow, Chris just did that off the top of his head, everybody. That was pretty good, Chris.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the intro.
That's what you call a freestyle right there.
Yeah, that was. That was freestyle. You were like B. Rabbit right there.
I'm just trying to do my best Sam Levin impression.
Do you know who B. Rabbit is?
What?
Okay, moving on. So I kind of found some things from all over sports, and there's some Snoop Dogg trashing. There's also some Mets trashing, some Cubs trashing. But we're going to start with the Padres. I did see this over the weekend, and it's not like the craziest opinion, but they said this. I actually don't want the Padres to win the division. It sounds crazy, but there is something that brings me joy like nothing else. A Dodgers first-round bye in the postseason and a Dodgers first series exit in the postseason. Please don't win the division, Padres. We want to see the Dodgers fail yet again. Tony, fair or foul?
Foul.
I knew you were going to go foul. By a large,
like, not, it was a foul ball the moment it came off the bat.
All right.
I mean, we went over this last week, I think, while you were gone. I can't remember who our guest was, but it was suggested to him. Chris, you remember who our guest was last week?
I don't.
Rob Bradford.
I don't. It might have been. Yeah, he did a great job, by the
way. I think it was.
Yeah, I do like Rob Bradford.
Yeah.
He's
good.
I get it. I get the fake. That's not fake. I get the people uncomfortable with how the records of those teams with buys have happened. But this reason in particular is stupid because, the Padres want to win a division. Everybody wants to win their division. And just so you can laugh at the Dodgers having a first-round bye and then not winning does not guarantee the Padres getting as far as we want them to go. This kind of goes back to focusing on what your team is doing versus worrying about what the other teams are doing. Padres win a division, that's a big deal. Padres haven't won a division in since 06? That's a crazy amount of time. And it's basically been the Dodgers and Giants winning it with like a one or two Diamondbacks sprinkled in there. So the Padres want to get on the board there.
Chris, fair or foul?
Really? You're asking me?
Yeah, because you, I could
you think
see
that
you
this
get
guy,
on board
you think
this.
I could see this being fair?
Yeah, I think you could. But when I wrote this, or not wrote this, but when I copy and pasted this over, I thought Chris could agree with this.
Yeah, well, he's not. This is so stupid, I can't even begin to tell you. I take everybody back to 1996.
If I could turn back time.
Thank you, Cher. That year, the Padres and Dodgers entered the final weekend of the season, both having clinched a playoff spot. The question was, is which team was going to win the division?
Wait, what year is this? I'm sorry.
1996.
Okay, all right.
Both teams had already clinched. One was going to be the division champ. One was going to be the wild card. Everybody knows that one of the great memories in Padre history is Tony's uncle, Chris Gwynn, coming up with a big hit to help complete a sweep on Sunday afternoon and give the Padres the division championship, which they celebrated right there Dodger Stadium's field.
Yes. Ooh,
yes.
That would be fun.
It didn't matter who was the winner. The Padres wanted the division, and the excitement of dethroning the Dodgers was incredible. And it's going to be the same around here if we win the division this year.
Ironically,
what happens in the playoffs beyond that is anybody's guess, but tell me you don't want to win the division, you're not thinking clearly.
They actually hang divisional banners.
Yes,
you know
they
what I'm saying? You get a unique color for divisional. I don't know. The wild card ones, I don't know if they hang the wild card banners, unless you absolutely have to. You know,
I'll take my chances with a division title and a bye every single time.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that the Dodgers can't do it.
Banner schmammer. All right, let's move on to the next.
What, did you write that? Or
No.
It sounds like it's coming from you.
No, but
this is not coming from the fertile mind of Matt Scraby.
No, because I would never bring this to you guys from my mind. The fertile mind, I'm not really even sure what that means. But let's move on to the next one. It's about the Cubs. And this person, it was on like one of those Cubs blog sites, and they said the Cubs spent so much money on Craig Counsell and the media buried the Brewers. Or sorry, this was from a Brewers site.
Okay.
The Cubs spent so much money on Craig Counsell and the media buried the Brewers before spring training even started. Cubs are 3 games under 500. The Brewers are 20 games over 500. The Cubs are in third place. The Brewers lead the division. The Cubs made Craig Counsell the highest paid manager in baseball, and they have nothing to show for it. Fire Craig Counsell and move on from this terrible decision. Tony Farofow.
And this came from a Brewers thing?
I can't actually remember anymore.
Jeez Louise.
I'm gonna go look up the article, but I'm... Go ahead.
It kind of has an impact on what I'm about to say here.
All right, hold on.
Here's what I'll
History.
Say.
History... Cubs.
Here's what
Cubs, sorry. Cubs.
Came from a Cub.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, I mean, listen, let's be 100% honest. Cubs didn't have that really good of a team. I mean, even when you brought back Bellinger, nobody was like, oh, yeah, the Cubs, they're just going to run away. It was kind of like, yeah, I can see the Cubs winning. Oh, but, you know, I could also see the Cardinals bouncing back. You know, oh, but the Brewers are always pretty good. It was never a deal where Craig Counsell was going to come in and all of a sudden just make that roster way, way better. Now, you can make the argument that they overpaid for him. I'm sure that's probably had a big factor in why he left Milwaukee to go to Chicago, because they did overpay for him. In terms of the Brewers getting kicked or beat down
buried.
Or whatever, buried, you know, it's just, you know, they were upset that they had a manager that they never thought would leave to go to the crosstown rival, and they were wrong. So there's probably a little sour grapes there, but I'm sure they're feeling pretty good right now, the fact that they're leading the division. So I think – I don't – firing Craig Counsell is stupid because it was never going to happen in the first place in terms of them just mowing down this division.
Yeah. Chris,
it's a fair ball, but it may – one of these days be caught at the top of the fence and brought back. And what I'm saying is, right now, Craig Counsell's season with the Cubs is an unmitigated disaster. I mean, for them to pour out the kind of money they did to steal him from Milwaukee and then get run away from in the division by Milwaukee.
Even though they don't have a good team?
Well,
the
Cubs? Look, I mean, I think both teams are pretty similar on paper coming in. The Brewers lost a lot of players. You know, the Cubs didn't really lose guys. They didn't add a whole lot to it. I think it's a disaster to hire a guy for that kind of money and get beaten the way he's been beaten by the team that let it, you know, that they took him from. However, there's another season. There's another couple of seasons. Craig Counsell could wind up on top at the end of all of this.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And to fire him, it's a little ridiculous.
Craig Counsell started with some pretty bad Brewers teams, and then by the time he left, they were pretty much the perennial contender in the Central every year.
So what you're saying, guys, is the long play is the way to go here.
Indeed.
I'm just saying it might be.
All right. Let's go to Olympic coverage opinion. This country reaches new lows all the time, and I am no longer surprised when something happens that allows our society to stoop even lower. NBC decided to hire a former criminal-turned-mumble rapper to be one of the hosts of the Olympic Games, Snoop Dogg. Why is it so easy for me to see, and so difficult for the Neanderthal executives to see, the flawed logic in their decision? Tony, why are we celebrating a guy who has many skeletons in the closet? I mean, fair or foul, really. That was his question to everyone. But fair or foul on this comment? There's a lot in there.
Give me the last part.
Is
again.
It fair or foul that he's criticizing the hiring of Snoop Dogg?
Correct.
I think it's foul. Hmm. Is there a difference between Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart?
Not technically, I guess.
They both were criminals at some point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
So, I mean... I think society has changed a lot. And Neanderthals, those are the old ones, right? I would think that Neanderthals wouldn't want a guy like Snoop Dogg kind of out to the masses. But I just think that, you know, despite some of those so-called skeletons in it, that he has, he's also done a lot to change his image in terms of understanding the people he's reaching, the kids that he's reaching. And so I think this is foul. I think this is foul by said writer. And I think most people enjoyed, if not all, enjoyed Snoop and his coverage of the Olympics.
For shizzle. Chris?
Like that.
Chris, fair or foul on this?
It's foul. It's foul. Snoop Dogg is lovable, and he's one of the great success stories in American pop culture to come from where he was to where he is. NBC was just taking advantage of that. Now, I did read varying reports, but one said that he made $9 million dollars from NBC. They probably should have paid him more. Because I'll be honest with you, if you're going to put Snoop Dogg on a television screen with Mike Tirico, there's only one reason I'm going to watch.
It's for Mike Tirico.
No, it's for Snoop Dogg. That's it.
I'm surprised that your hate for Mike Tirico is not outweighed. You know, you wouldn't just turn it off regardless.
Nah, I watch Snoop, man. He cracks me up.
You know,
honestly, he might have been a little overexposed in the Olympics, but that's not his fault. He was just funny in everything he did. I had no problem with it.
I think that number sounds about right, because if I recall right, it was like $500,000 a day.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that would be $9 million. Make
right
$9 million dollars just to be himself.
To
smoke weed and go on camera. I mean, God, isn't that, if that's not the American success story of all time, I don't know what is.
You know, I was in the car with my parents, and we were talking about Snoop Dogg hosting the Olympics, and my dad said, why doesn't someone just go arrest Snoop Dogg? Because he's obviously got a bunch of drugs on him. And I'm like, because Snoop is too cool. They're not going to arrest him. Come on. And he doesn't have the drugs on him.
That's what I was about to say.
He's got a guy for that.
Not to mention, I don't know what the laws are in
France.
In France.
Probably not a great idea to be transporting across, you know, country lines.
Right. I mean, I don't know that we saw him with any of that.
But I'm sure he has contacts in Paris that would be happy to help him out. I am sure people come out of the woodwork to offer him stuff. Hey, you're Snoop Dogg. Can you try this, please?
Oh, yeah.
Try this strain, please.
Please try this. I'm going to think, you know, I'd like to see NBC take it a step further, never mind this fair or foul. Next time, just have Snoop Dogg be the lone host of the prime time, and have Mike Tirico stand behind a camera somewhere and give him a little money.
Your love for Snoop Dogg is surprising to me.
I'm
no
surprised
Snoop
too.
Dogg slander.
I'm surprised
no, I'm not,
too, but
not
I like
slandering him at all. All right, final one, real quick, and this one is from the New York Post. So get ready. The Mets should be ashamed of themselves. It was camp day at Citi Field last Thursday afternoon. Thousands of kids in the ballpark, many of them already irreversibly desensitized and anti-socialized by the commercial prompts that attack their vulnerable central nervous systems before they can distinguish bad from worse. So what did the Mets do? They put a Mets jersey on a girl who was famous for saying "Hawk Tua." As a Mets fan my whole life, I am disgusted that the Mets would put this girl in front of so many children who are now asking, what does Hawk Tua mean? Steve Cohen and the Mets stooped too low this time, and I can't see why they felt the need. Fair or foul, Chris?
Fair.
Really?
Yeah, fair ball. I don't really understand how they arrived at bringing her there to throw out a first pitch. And I don't understand how did they announce her to the crowd?
By her name.
And was she
influencer.
Just...
influencer.
What?
Social media influencer.
Social media influencer so-and-so.
I don't know her
they,
real
did
name.
They ever mention Hawk Tua in the introduction over the PA system?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
The fact of the matter is, she didn't belong.
Her name is Haley Welch.
Well, she didn't belong out there in the first place. And especially now that I hear it was a kid's day, I'm a little outraged by this, I must tell you.
Outraged.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I don't need every kid turning to their parent and going, what is this? Who is that woman? Oh, well, what does that mean? I don't need that. We have enough issues already out there. This was really poor taste, if that's true.
I mean, all she was doing was spitting. That's it.
I know.
Yeah, Tony, fair or foul?
Probably fair.
Wow.
Especially considering it was on a kid's day.
Yeah, that's the most egregious part.
Although I don't buy the idea that, you know, if, let's just say if it was my mom, and I happened to randomly ask my mom, who is this lady?
Your mom would say, be quiet, mind your own business. I know what Alicia would
That's definitely one option she would,
yeah,
she would have.
That's one option.
The other option, I mean, there's I guess there's a way to speak to your kids and let them know that something inappropriate, she did something inappropriate, she shouldn't really be up here, but this is what they decided. I mean, be honest without, you know, having to, there's a way to say that to your child and let them know that this, it's inappropriate or whatever it is that you feel about the situation. But
it's inappropriate that the Mets put every parent in that stadium in that position.
It's parenting. I mean, this is what you're supposed to do as a parent, is guide your children and let them know right from wrong. Just take it as an opportunity. I don't think she should have been there on that particular day. But let's say it wasn't that day and it was just a random day. There's still kids in the stands in those days that can still ask the same question. So,
ladies and gentlemen, the Hawk Tua girl.
That's not what they
call Haley Welch. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. The last time when we originally talked about this and you were concerned that I was filling young ears with bad things, most of the parents said on the chat that their kids already knew it before they did because of, you know, school and TikTok and whatever, friends or whatever it was.
Doesn't make it right to drag her out there.
She's doing a good thing, though. She's donating.
I mean, they have social influencers throw out first pitches all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe not one that used the term Hawk Tua, but they definitely all got.
How many pole dancers have the Mets gone to this year?
All right, Chris. Come on. That's please. Not even close to the same thing.
He's a really get off my lawn mode.
Yeah, he really is.
Get off!
One of my favorite ejections ever just was shown on. Oh, man, that's great. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
All right, that's it for fair or foul. It was kind of a foul segment. But I kind of enjoyed it today.
Okay.
It was kind of a rousing.
Good questions.
All right.
Good fair or foul.
All right, maybe I figured out this
maybe
this
you got
formula.
Something here, Scraby. All right, we got Chris versus the fans next. Hang in.